wonderful people, and I don't take it lightly. And Bishop honor tonight, Pastor Collins honor tonight, my dear friend. I said it the other day, and I really meant it. The Suttons are no longer my friends. I just feel like they're my family. And I love them, and I will extend that a little bit further and say, New Life, you're not just my friends. I feel like you're my family. And so let's have church like family has church. Hallelujah. You know, when you're with family, you can just be yourself, and you don't have to put on no special nothing. I ain't nobody. I ain't trying to figure out who you are. You ain't trying to figure out who I am. We home folk tonight. And so we just going to have church together. How about it? Well, that was about 17 of you. I said, how about it? Let's have church. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible reads, at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. His disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. And he said unto them, have ye not read what David did? I love it when Jesus looks at the so-called church folks and asks them a simple question. Don't you read your Bible? I mean, really, how much worse can it be if you're the most spiritual people of this day and a man just walks up and says, hey, hadn't you read in your Bible? That's what happens here. Jesus tells them, haven't you ever read? Don't you read the Word? What David did when he was hungered and they were with him, and how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Or have ye not read in the law how on the Sabbath day the priests in the temples profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrificed, ye would have not condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. He said, I'm God over the Sabbath. We are going to kind of pick up in the same vein that we were in on Sunday, and we're going to go and preach, I guess, build upon that block and go from there to where I feel like the Lord wants us to go. And if you'll help me tonight, I want to preach just for the next few moments, hermeneutics of the hungry. Hermeneutics of the hungry. Would you help me right now by lifting your hands and to heaven and asking the Lord to move in this place? God, we love you. So thankful, Lord, to know you. God, there's not a friend like you. You've been my friend when nobody else would be my friend. You never left me. You've never forsaken me. God, you've always been there. Come on, somebody ought to just tell him thank you right now. Come on, if God's always been there by your side, you ought to just praise him. Come on, you ought to just praise him. You ought to clap your hands and lift your voice with a shout of praise. Woo! Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, can we take it up another notch on a Wednesday night? I know you're tired. I know you worked all day. But let me tell you something. God's still been good. Hey, hey, Katayano Mosi Andanabaha. Woo! Somebody ought to just shout one good time and let Jesus know that you're glad to be in his house. Hallelujah! Woo! Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated if you can. Amen. Be seated if you can. If you can't, that's all right. You can run, jump, run the backs of the pews. It don't matter to me. We're going to have Holy Ghost Church. There are different ways we as Christians learn to study the Bible. Some study using their highlighters in a notebook. Some use a form of electronic device to study the Word of God. Some might read books and listen to lectures or sermons on different topics. Whether you realize it or not, you have some point in time been learning about the Word of God, and it's used by definition the Word, the science of interpreting the Word of God, or what we call in one word, hermeneutics. And the use of hermeneutics has a large large benefit when you follow the law of hermeneutics. You must understand the culture and the context of a scripture that is being interpreted. For instance, if you want to look at culture, we can go to Song of Solomon, read about how Solomon begins to tell the Shulamite woman how beautiful she is. And Solomon's pickup line is literally this: your hair is like a flock of goats. When was the last time you told your wife that? Girl, you got hair like goats. He goes on to say, your eyes are like dove's eye. You ever seen a dove's eye, how beady that joker is? I mean, to us, that sounds like an insult, not a compliment. But in that day and time, because of the culture, it was one of the most, it was one of the deepest things that Solomon could say as a poet. And then you have to put it in context as well as understanding the culture. There was an old story about a young man that does exactly what we all do. He opened the Bible and he said, wherever the Bible falls, that's what I'm going to take as my word from God today. So he opens up his Bible and he just points his finger, and the Bible said in this particular passage that Judas went out and hung himself. He said, surely that can't be it, and closed the Bible and opened it back up and pointed, and it said, and go and do likewise. So you got to read the whole thing. You got to put it in context. You got to understand what the Bible is talking about, knowing that when you do that, the Bible really does make sense. How many just wave your hand at me if you know what I'm talking about tonight? Bible, actually, believe it or not, it was written over 2,000 years ago, but it still makes sense. It's amazing that God could look all the way down through eternity and put a book together, and we call it the Holy Word of God, and yet it still makes sense for this day and time when you put it in the proper context. Paul wrote to a young man by the name of Timothy, telling him to study to show himself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we understand that it is a biblical command to understand and properly interpret the word of God in its entirety. I don't want to go too far into this tonight, but our scripture text tonight is happening in a place where God has manifest in the flesh and is in the process of rewriting his will. And so as Jesus is walking through a field of corn on the Sabbath day, his disciples began to pick and eat it because the Bible says that they were hungry. And the Pharisees, the people who had been in church studying the law, reading the word of God a majority of their life, they had offense at what had happened by the disciples' hands. And they said to Jesus, Jesus, your disciples are doing that which is unlawful to do upon the Sabbath day. In other words, they were saying that the simple fact of we read the Bible and we see that the Bible says that basically this is illegal. It's unlawful for them to do this. But what they did not realize is while they were practicing the interpretation of what they read, is there was a law that did not exist yet until Jesus began his earthly ministry. And it was a part of rewriting his will. And rewriting it wasn't to abolish the old law, but to fulfill the law. And this was the law, or the hermeneutic of the hungry. Simply put, these men are men that were following Jesus and were hungry on that day. They were in a place where they knew the law as well, and they knew what they were and were not supposed to do. But at this point in time, Jesus shows us by reaching back and telling us a story about David, that when you are hungry, you look at things, you interpret things different than someone that is not hungry. David is running for his life. Saul is trying to kill him, and is hot on his trail, and David has not ate, and he comes to the house of the Lord, and David has been raised to honor the Lord and everything that he does and keep the commandments. And as David is running, he smells the bread from the temple and runs up, and if you'll let me put it in McNary County terms, he says, preacher, you gotta feed me. And he said, but I don't have anything but the holy bread. And David said, that will work. That's what I need. I just need some bread. Understand that this this was a day and time where David was not supposed to do this. David was not supposed to eat this bread. But Jesus is referring to this here, talking to the Pharisees and reminding them of the story, understanding that they all revered David and they all sat back when David's name was mentioned and took notice and paid attention. And so Jesus begins to talk about David, understanding that he had their attention. And he tells them this story for the simple purpose of telling them that when you are hungry, you have a different interpretation of someone that's not. David said, I know this isn't what I'm supposed to eat at the house of the Lord, but I'm hungry. Can I take about 5 minutes and preach to somebody tonight that society says you're not supposed to act like that when you go to church and everything's going wrong? But can I tell you that hungry people have a different interpretation than what everybody else has? There might even be church folk that say you're not supposed to shout like that. But when you're hungry, you look at things differently. You study things differently. And when you weren't hungry, you might have come to church and just did your little hand clap and did your little dance and went home. But honey, when you get hungry, it's more than a hand clap. It's more than just a little dance. It's more than just a little leaping for joy. When you're hungry, there's something that pulls up in your spirit that says, I'm going to the altar and I'm going to worship until I get full. I'm hungry for a move of God. I'm hungry for a... You might not understand on a Wednesday night why Brother Phillips can come to a pulpit and leap for joy when things are going wrong in my world. But let me just tell you, in a few moments, it's because I want more of Jesus Christ. I'm hungry for Him. Hallelujah. My interpretation changes. Understand what, again, I don't have to preach that to this church. I don't know what hermeneutics are. Your interpretation, when you get really hungry, it starts shifting. And things that used to not look so good, oh, help me, Jesus, start looking good. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I'll be honest with you, I don't have a problem telling you I'm a picky eater. And the kitchen crew standing back there saying, amen, amen, amen. I hate noodles with a purple passion. I ain't eating a noodle. You're going to have to whoop me to make me eat a noodle. But there's a lot of stuff I don't eat. And I'm weird, I guess. I'm going to let that sink in for a second because some of y'all are thinking about how weird I am. But let me just tell you, you're just as weird as I am. We all got things we don't like. And I can remember Brother Collins when I was a young man and I'd come in from playing outside. And my mama be cooking. I'd say, Mama, what are we eating for supper tonight? And she'd tell me whatever it is. And I'd say, I don't want that. She'd say, well, you just ain't hungry. Let me tell you something. When you get hungry, things that you normally wouldn't eat, you'll start eating. Yeah, I know your flesh don't like to pray, but when you get hungry for the things of God and not the things of this world, prayer starts looking appetizing. I know coming to church on Wednesday night when you've worked all day and you're tired under normal circumstances, you really wouldn't want to do that. But honey, when you get hungry, you'll say, it doesn't matter what I got to do. I must go to the house of the Lord. Why do you do it? Because I just want another touch from the Lord. I just want another crumb off the master's table. I want more of Him. I want more of Him. I'm going to move on here in just a moment, but let me tell you something. When we come to church, and Bishop Sutton, I understand that without a doubt that this man has preached for years, on top of years, it's evident that you can praise your way out of anything, and you can worship your way out of the trial that you're going through, and you can come to church and be burdened, but when you begin to praise God, things start changing. I know without a shadow of a doubt, sometimes that's hard to digest because we
want it to come a little bit easier. We want to do it. We want a miracle without getting involved with it. We want God to just show up and abolish the problem. But maybe, just maybe on a Wednesday night, there's somebody here and you've been holding back on every service. I would praise, but my problem, I would shout, but what I'm going through, let me tell you something, honey, you just ain't hungry enough. Because I'm going to tell you some praise is comely for the saints. It doesn't make any sense. But when you begin to praise him, when you begin to mount, it does things that nothing else can do. I know it doesn't make any sense when everything's going wrong to come to church and to run the aisles. But to hungry people, it makes plenty of sense. I know it doesn't make any sense to shout and dance on a Wednesday night, but to hungry people, it just makes sense, because when you get hungry, you'll do whatever you gotta do to get a miracle. There are any hungry people in the house? My God, I know everything's going wrong, but I just got a question. How hungry are you? I know everything's turned upside down, and by all means, life is telling you to sit on your pew, but how hungry are you? How hungry are you for revival? How hungry are you for a financial miracle? How hungry are you for a miracle in your body? I'm hungry, and I want a touch from God.
Can I just flow in the Holy Ghost? Can I just preach tonight? Good, I was going to anyway. I do not like going to a wing shop. Anybody that knows me knows I love wings. With people who are dainty. Because it is impossible to eat wings and be dainty at the same time. Can I get a witness? There's some things that when you eat them, you just gotta get right smack dab in the middle of it and let it run down both elbows and down your chin too. Help me, Lord. There's some things you can't look pretty while you're doing it. Can I tell you that praise is like that? That getting a miracle is just like that. You can't look pretty and get a miracle. Find where Jesus found somebody that was just sitting on the sidelines and saying, Lord, whenever you get time, I'll take a miracle. No, he found people that were in the press. He found people that were in the... They didn't care how dirty they got. They didn't care how undignified they were. You know what? They were just hungry for a miracle. And they said, if I've got to crawl on my hands and knees, I'll crawl on my hands and knees. If I've got to shout, I'll shout. Because I'm... Yeah, I know you got a right to sit there, but let me tell you something. You got a greater right to stand up and to lift your hands and to lift your voice, because in spite of what you've been through, God has been good. I'm going to help you tonight. Can I preach to the new converts here for a little bit? Can I preach to the new converts? Can I help you, new convert? If you are hanging around with people that say, it don't take all of that, number one, you need to run from them, because they'll make you twofold a child of hell than they are. Well, that's strong preaching. Yeah, well, we serve a strong God, and he's got strong word in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're trying to stand between somebody and worship by saying it doesn't take all of that, shame on you. I've been to churches, and they say, well, they'll learn better. I hope you don't ever learn better.
And let me just tell you something. Let me remind you of something. That was you before you got so full of pride. Well, they down there acting crazy again. That's how you used to act before you got dignified and so full of yourself and forgot where God brought you from. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you got in church, you acted the same way, honey. You need to remember all the junk that he brought you. Don't let that man run by himself. You need to look back at where God brought you from and understand it might not be pretty, but I'm hungry. I might not be dignified, but I'm hungry. I might not be cute, but I'm not interested in being cute. I'm interested in a miracle. I'm interested in a breakthrough. I'm interested in touching the hem of his garment.
Paul told Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strifes. I'm still preaching to my new converts here. Paul is writing and he says foolish and unlearned questions. Understand, this word foolish comes from the Greek word moros. It's where we get our English word moron. Paul said, morons and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strife. Why are you praising like that? That's a moron. You need to leave them alone. Why you get up there and spin in circles and jump up and down? You don't need to listen to them. That's a moron. Well, help me, Jesus. I just lost about 70% of you right there. Because, well, you don't need to be hanging around people that act and asking questions like that. I'm going to tell you what, when you hear things like that said, you just need to think about what God has done for you. And Brother Sutton, I'm trying to move on, but I can't get it out of my spirit. When you just think about all that he's done, I can't help but praise him because I know what he's done, and God will never allow himself to be outdone. That means the miracle that he done yesterday, he's going to do a greater miracle tomorrow. He's going to be under him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or even think. Honey, you got a right to shout if you're hungry for a miracle.
But I'm not going to do that. Will you just stay there with your same problem and your same dysfunction, and you stay there with your family turned upside down. You stay right there where you're at without your children prayed through. You stay where you're at in the same financial crisis that you've been in. I'm hungry for a miracle. And so if you don't want to praise him, that's fine. But don't hinder me, because I know that my miracle is in my praise. My breakthrough is in my I'm hungry for a move of God.
This is what hunger does. Jesus is on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. There is a woman with an issue of blood, Brother Dawson. Nobody even recognized that she was in the crowd. Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, isn't even paying her any attention. He's on his way to do another miracle.
I wish y'all could feel what I feel right now. He's on his way to give somebody else a breakthrough. But when somebody that was hungry got in the press, it stopped him from going where he was, and he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" You think he knew who touched him? He was God, but he was just looking to find out how hungry she really was. Who
touched me, I perceived that there was virtue that went out of my body. Can I tell you, when you get hungry and come to church on a Wednesday night, God will take somebody else's miracle that's waiting on it and say, I got plenty of miracles to go around. Let me just park right here for a moment and touch somebody that nobody thought was going to get touched. Everybody knew he was going to touch Jairus' daughter. Everybody knew he was fixing to raise the dead. But what they didn't know is somebody stepped in the way and intercepted a miracle. Somebody stepped in the way and said, not today, Jesus. You ain't getting by me without doing. You're not going to come by here on a Wednesday night and not give me a miracle. I'll intercept it. I'll stand in the way. I'll touch the hem of his garment.
See, you got a choice to make tonight. Say, well, preacher, what if God sees my hunger and passes me by? Well, what if he doesn't see your hunger and passes you by? Well, what if God sees my need and doesn't meet it? Well, what if you don't make it known? Hey, if we're going to play the ifs game, let's just assume that God's going to come down here tonight and everybody that needs a miracle, he's going to give it to them. And what if you don't lift your hands? Well, what if God don't? Well, what if you don't? You know what I done decided a long time ago? Every time I come to church, well, if you don't want your miracle, that's fine. I'm going to get it. I'm greedy when it comes to the miraculous. If you don't want your touch, that's fine. You just sit there and be quiet. I'm going to worship until I get his attention. Jairus, you can wait, honey. I got to touch the hem of his garment because I'm hungry. Understand what the law said. The law said that this woman with an issue of blood, it was the same thing as leprosy. She had to walk around saying, I'm unclean, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. There was no way that she was supposed to get into the crowd. But were you going to look, are you going to look at what the law says? Or are you going to look at what hunger said? The law says, stay out of the crowd. They'll stone you if they find you. But when you get hungry, you start interpreting things different. The law said, forget about it. This miracle's not for you. But hunger cried out and said, I just gotta touch him. I just gotta touch him. I must touch him. Let me move on. Y'all come to the music. I'm almost done. Mark chapter 10. I'm not going to preach everything I wanted to preach tonight. Maybe I'll get to preach part two. Mark chapter 10, 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Next verse. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible tells us, they go. Let's read through this. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Well, the Bible says that he cried. Look at somebody and say, he cried. The more, a great deal. You see, there's a difference in calling and crying. See, calling God's what you do when you got it and you can handle it and you can call on him. Call him up, tell him what you want. When you got stuff that you want. But crying's what you do when you need something. Calling's what you do when you want something, but crying's what you do when you need something. Oh, my God, help me, Jesus. I'm trying to preach this tonight, but I'm just telling you, the Holy Ghost is all up on me. You know what your problem is? Is you've been calling too long, and nothing's happening, and you're getting frustrated because all you've been doing is calling. Jesus, on Sunday and Jesus on Wednesday. But you see, when you start crying, it don't matter what day of the week it is. It don't matter how many times you looked and God didn't move. It don't matter how many times you went to church and you prayed and it didn't happen. When you start crying, when Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. When you start crying, Jesus, I need a miracle. I need a breakthrough. I need a blessing. I need a healing. I need a touch. There's something about Jesus that says, I hear the cry of my children. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Let's read. Verse 49. I don't have time to preach about the many that charged him. Well, the next verse. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. Now I want you to understand something here. Maybe I'll get to preach the rest of this, maybe I won't. But the Bible says that he has left Jericho, meaning he's on the outside of Jericho. Anybody know where Jericho was? Jericho was the first city that God's people came into as they were receiving the promise of Canaan land. It was the first place. Once they crossed over Jordan River, the first place they came to was Canaan. It was the first city of the promise. Now, if you go to the next chapter, you can find out where Jesus is going. Jesus is leaving Jericho, and he's going to Jerusalem. Anybody know what Jerusalem is? Jerusalem is the place that he said, you go and tarry in Jerusalem and you stay there until you be endued with power from on high. Understanding where blind Bartimaeus is, he is already past the miracle of Jericho. He's already past the blessing of yesterday, but he hasn't received the promise of tomorrow yet. But can I tell you that when you're between a promise and a promise, that's the place where miracles happen. I've already done something in Jericho, and I'm going to do something in Jerusalem, but because you were right in the middle of it, I've come to tell somebody today, you're in between the promise of yesterday and the promise of tomorrow. You're in a place where the miraculous happens. You're in the place where the miraculous happens. I'm going to say it to you. Get it in your spirit. Right now, where you are is the place where the miraculous happens. I wish there'd be somebody tonight that's hungry, that would just jump to your feet and say, Jesus, I'm hungry. I need my sight. I need a miracle. I'm hungry. And I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think. I know that you're attracted to the hungry. You're attracted to those that are hungry. How many want to be blessed? Come on, how many really want to be blessed? He said, I'm not going to tell you what Jacob Phillips says. I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let me tell you something. There's not a whole lot of guarantees in this world. I can't guarantee you that you're going to live on a mansion on a hill. I can't guarantee you that you're going to have a $500,000 car. I can't guarantee you that by the time you're 45, you're going to be a millionaire. But one thing I can guarantee you, if you come to church hungry, you're going to leave. If you come to church looking for a miracle and you let that cry out of your spirit, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen your tomorrow, but this one thing I know, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You can get full in this house tonight, but you got to look past what everybody else thinks and everybody else says and say, when I read it as a hungry man, when I read it as a hungry saint, all I can see, everybody says no, but God says yes. So I'm not gonna
I'm not going to listen to what people say. I'm not going to listen to what people think. I'm hungry. I wish you'd praise him like you're hungry right now. I wish you'd shout like you were hungry for a miracle. I wish you'd dance like you were hungry for revival.
Some of y'all ain't hungry, because as soon as the singing stops, you stop.
But the Bible says they charge blind Bartimaeus and said, no, you can't do that here. You got to wait on the right song, and you got to wait on your favorite singer. But blind Bartimaeus said, hey, you can forget all of that. I need a miracle. If you really need something, you wouldn't need them to sing. If you really needed something, you'd step out. I'm there, somebody that's hungry. And you let what everybody else think and everybody else says keep you in your pew. You ought to step out, honey. Step out in the aisle and say, Jesus, have mercy. I want a miracle. Come on. I want a breakthrough. Yeah, you ought to think about where he brought you from right now. I want you to take about 10 seconds and do exactly what the Bible says and then respond accordingly. I want you to think back to where God found you and all the... and all the hell you were in and all the chaos you were in and then I want you to praise him accordingly. When I think about where he brought me from, when I think about all that he's done, when I think about how he made way after way, come on, when I think about Jesus. Some of y'all trying to be cute, but when you're hungry, honey, you can't be cute. You just gotta praise him. Praise him. Give him praise. I wish an ex-alcoholic would think about all the bar rooms you've been in. I wish an ex-drug head would think about all the drugs you've done and just say, Jesus, you brought me from a mighty, 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 mighty long way.
Yeah, there is some hungry people in here. Because hungry people shout when everything says don't shout. Hungry people shout when there ain't no music. Blind Bartimaeus doesn't need the beat of the drum. Blind Bartimaeus doesn't need anything. All he needs to know is that Jesus is passing by. And that is enough. That is enough for me. If he's here, I want to get his attention. If you're hungry, you ought to praise him.
Come on, I'm telling you right now in the Holy Ghost, somebody's getting their vision back. You've been sitting on the side of the road, sitting back begging for a miracle, begging for a breakthrough. But I'm here to tell you right now, Bartimaeus, the Lord has seen your hunger, and he's coming down, and he's going to give you your sight back. You're going to get back your vision. You're going to get back your vision. Come on, there's miracles happening in here right now. There's breakthroughs happening here right now. Come on, sis, you've been praying for 5 years for a certain prayer. God said right now he's doing it. You can't see it with your natural eye, but there's a 5-year prayer you've been praying, and God said it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. It shall. Don't you believe the lies of the devil anymore. I don't care how many times he said no. God's saying yes tonight. Yes, yeah, 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 yeah.
Come on, you shouldn't shout like that. It's Wednesday night. You need to be cool, calm, and collect. You shouldn't be dancing without the music. No. You don't need to do all that. But somebody said, I'm hungry. Come on, Bartimaeus, you got his attention right now. You just need to tell him what you want. Come on, you've been crying out. It's been coming out of your soul. Jesus, our son of David. Jesus, our son of David. Now tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. Come on, you can leave here with a miracle in your body. Just tell him what you want. You can leave here with a miracle in your finance. Just tell him what you want. You can leave here with a touch in your mind. Just tell Jesus what you want.
Come on, come on, you're all, you're there right now. Just ask him. Whatsoever thing you may ask in my name, I will do it. I will do it. Come on, he's working a miracle right now, right now, right now, right now. Come on, do you feel that? Do you feel that anointing? Do you feel that touch? Come on, respond to the touch. Respond to the touch of the Lord. Respond to the touch from the Master. Thank you.
The anointing and the prophetic are in the house. Why don't you reach over and lay your hand on somebody near you if you're not already cuddled up with somebody praying there. Make sure everybody has somebody that's praying with them right now. Let that anointing flow from vessel to vessel, from house to house. Let your prayer move right now. Talk in tongues. Let the Holy Ghost make a proclamation. Let the Spirit of God say something about what's going to happen. Let the Holy Ghost pray a prayer about that vessel that you're praying for. Ah, hallelujah. Hey. Come on, the prophetic is moving in the house right now. You just don't know what a moment like this can do. Push that a little bit further. Just push that a little bit further. Just press into that just a little bit more. A little over 47 years ago, there was a young evangelist from Canada, and he was preaching, and he used Bartimaeus as a text, and he began to say, in the middle of the parade, in the middle of the movement, even though it's going somewhere else, if you'll stop right where you are, and you'll just begin to cry out, you can receive from God here. And a young man over on this side of the church, about halfway back, had hair down to about right here and a big bushy beard, his best t-shirt and his bell-bottom jeans and boots on. He stood up and began to cry, Jesus! Jesus! Like Bartimaeus did. And he went off. And before he knew it, there was a young man, a 19-year-old, named Terry Pugh, that was standing on top of the pew beside him, praying for him, and Pentecostals were all around him, but he didn't care, and he didn't know, and he was just in a zone, and something happened that had never happened to him before in his life. He began to speak in another language that he had never learned, and a sense of clarity and reality came on him, and you know, it's still on him right now. He hadn't been able to shake it in these 47 years. I got the Holy Ghost in a summer revival. God gave me the Holy Ghost. The parade was going on by. It wasn't about me. But I heard the word and I said yes. And I stood up in the middle of it and cried. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And you know, I didn't know what God was going to do. And I didn't know what the fruit of that moment would be. But I've enjoyed the journey. And it's been a little while, and I'm constantly just amazed at what God will do with you. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. I appreciate the word of God tonight. I appreciate, and you know what? I've been eating on this for 47 years. I'm still hungry. I'll tell you this. There's my friend. My friend, I was fishing at Walmart today. What I do is I go buy a few things and get it in a buggy, and then I go fishing. I go pushing my buggy around, and I have my revival flyers, and I stop, and I talk to people. Where's Brother Davin? I do it in the air conditioning. I'm a wimp. I don't do it in the parking lot. I do it inside. I got my buggy, and I'm fishing. And there's a lady going to come, a Polish lady. I can't even say her last name. She's coming Sunday night. And my friend, I was giving a flyer to two county workers in the parking lot there. And I was talking to them about church. I said, look, you can see it right there. Just come on and come. Sunday night, we're going to have a fellowship. And he came running. He said, can I come? Can I be a part of that? And I said, yeah. My friend, you can come. He came and he went to the Spanish work tonight. He was down there. Brother George was teaching. I'm just telling you, somebody's coming. It may not be who you think, but somebody's coming. And when God fills them, they're going to make big tracks in the kingdom of God. Somebody's coming, and they may be the salvation of your children. Somebody's coming, and they may pray the prayer that heals your loved one. Somebody's coming, and God will stop the parade for them. Somebody's hungry. God bless you. Love what's moving in the house tonight. Take some flyers, take some cards, touch somebody this week. We only have Sunday morning in terms of a service, but we're going to blow out the walls. We're going to have good church, and God's going to fill some people with the Holy Ghost. And then Sunday night, we're going to have a fellowship, but it's an extension of Acts chapter 2. They continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. And so we're going to do a lot of that on Sunday night. And that's a net that we're casting, and we're going to catch some people Sunday night. So invite people to church Sunday morning and invite them to that Memorial Day picnic, Memorial Eve picnic on Sunday night. God bless you.